Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tim Ahrens, site editor for SearchCRM.com. And today we're going to go deeper on big data and its role in CRM. In the complex world of big data, companies need to know how to manage their data resources or risk negative effects to the customer experience. To talk more about challenges associated with big data and how it's affecting roles in businesses today, I'm welcoming back Peter O'Kelly, an independent consultant with more than 30 years of experience in the field, to offer some more insight. So welcome back, Peter.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
So, Peter, we got into sort of the general use cases of big data and sort of the trends associated with it. But what are the challenges companies face in trying to make sense of big data, and how can success or failure in this area affect customer experience?
The biggest part, absolutely, is being able to address some longstanding goals, things that have been promised in the software industry for a long time, but previously were very expensive to achieve. And in a customer-related context, the 360-degree view is perhaps the most significant. So the success from the ability to create comprehensive views of customer interactions and consistently apply customer profiles to identify and leverage new insights in customer behavior patterns. And this can tie back again to a concept that was popular back in the late 90s. With the initial rush to the web, there was this concept of mass customization, which means being able to make customer-specific offers based on what you know about those customers in real time in many cases, and that's the sort of thing that can really surprise and delight customers. Some aspects of this have been, again, part of the hope and part of the marketing, perhaps, for web-centric e-commerce for nearly two decades, but now it's coming to fruition, at least for organizations that can take full advantage of these big data advances. Some ways in which failure can affect customer service, and I think those are always important to factor in as well and make sure that you can avoid these kinds of problems. One of them is that there are rapidly changing customer expectations. So this is basically about keeping pace with what customers expect. So if you think about a call center, for instance, or just any type of customer service, if a customer has shared information with an organization, they increasingly are going to expect it to be used effectively, consistently, securely. So if you think about the sort of call center scenarios that probably too many of us have experienced, where you have a problem, you call in, you get transferred someplace else, you have to start all over again and identify yourself, and maybe that system doesn't have the same level of information about the products and services you've purchased, and it feels like just this endless labyrinth of trying to get to resolution. So one way in which you can have a failure in customer service or customer experience is if you can't integrate these systems and use them effectively. Another big failure pattern comes from the ineffective use of these tools, basically making bad guesses because you didn't ask useful questions or weren't precise enough in the question, or perhaps unbeknownst to you, if the data you're working with is incomplete or inconsistent. And that can create bad customer experience patterns, such as sending promotions for discount shopping stores or offers to people who are luxury buyers or vice versa. You've wasted your marketing and advertising resources in that context, and you've probably annoyed your customers. A more extreme case of this, and one that's been pretty widely discussed, was there was a popular retailer, and they used data analytics to profile customers who were likely to be pregnant, and then sent them specific offers, coupons, for instance, and touting, hey, you know, now that you're pregnant, here are things that you should consider, vitamins and things like that. One father of a teenager who was living at home saw this in the mail, got irate about it, called the retailer to complain. It turned out that actually his daughter was indeed pregnant, but hadn't told him yet. The retailer in this case, using big data analytics, was confident that she was pregnant, and that basically inferred that based on her buying patterns at their store. But in this case, it's an example of a bad customer experience where the data analytics were right, but the overall execution was problematic because there's just a lack of judgment about the consequences of the way they're leveraging the information. So in this case, the retailer, of course, besides becoming a case study on what not to do, they went back and refined their criteria to make sure that they weren't doing things that were going to present unpleasant surprises to their customers. So those are just a few examples of how the inability to leverage this big data technology wave can have some very negative customer experiences.
Yeah, it kind of makes you shake your head there, Peter.
It's a bit scary,
yeah. So, Peter, you touched on silos and you touched on data integration. So what are some ways in which companies can better manage their data resources when dealing with big data?
Great question. And it creates another challenge these days because there's almost a paradox of abundance. There are so many choices these days, and many of them, the paint is still wet, if you know what I mean. They're just fledgling products that are categories of products, and it's difficult to tell which of these things are going to be around long-term and which aren't. But certainly the types of mainstream patterns that are popular out there today is there are several popular so-called NoSQL systems or specialized systems for some needs right now. They're not always the best replacements for the more traditional, especially relational database management systems like Oracle Database, Microsoft SQL Server, IBM DB2, and popular open source options like Oracle's MySQL or Postgres is another one. So basically, figuring out which of those technologies to use for a given problem domain or application domain is something that you need to be able to do in order to better manage your data resources. Another theme that is increasingly common with big data is putting it into the cloud. So figuring out how to leverage cloud-based platforms to greatly simplify the shift to big data domains. And this is not always applicable depending on an organization's policies for security and compliance, but it's rapidly going mainstream. I think Salesforce.com has really led the way with this in terms of changing even conservative IT expectations about what's practical to put in the cloud. And it certainly doesn't hurt when you see things like Amazon Web Services hosting things for the CIA in the United States. It's clear that cloud is increasingly applicable for a pretty broad set of data management needs. It's also important to note, though, that the incumbent vendors are leveraging the same market dynamics that the new vendors are taking advantage of. So this commodity hardware, even open source technology for integration with Hadoop, for instance. So many of the new vendors would explicitly or implicitly imply that the traditional relational database management systems are going away and that these new NoSQL systems are in some way a superset of what came before, and that's just not the case. The usual suspects for the incumbent vendors are going to be able to take advantage of these market dynamics just as much as the new players. And of course, there's been a lot of acquisition activity as well. So you see companies like Teradata, for instance, buying a lot of big data related platforms. But there are also some considerations that aren't so much directly technology related that need to be addressed to effectively manage these data resources for big data. And data integration, data cleaning are big problems, making sure that you've got a high degree of data quality. And I've read many estimates that it could be 70% or 80% of the overall resources that are required for big data analytics are basically consumed making sure that you've staged and integrated the data in the right way. So the vendors would tell you that all you need to do is create a so-called data lake and pour all of your data resources from across the company into that. There's a lot more to it, and there's a shortage of magic for how these pieces will come together if organizations don't make sure they're working with the right data models, for instance. One other high-level consideration for how to use this stuff effectively is that in many cases, big data provides the opportunity to basically go back and address some long-standing challenges in enterprise data management. So many enterprises simply don't have their data houses in order today for a variety of reasons. Part of it is the rush to the web starting 20 years ago was a big shift, with traditional data management, for instance, being pulled into a web app server peer, and in a lot of cases, just basic data management has been sort of considered a less significant priority than, for instance, an e-commerce site. So a lot of organizations have challenges where they've got to go back and basically clean up or refine or extend their existing data resources before they can pull them all together and use them for big data opportunities. And again, I think that's a big opportunity that it's hard to make a case for the, you know, if you consider in many cases it's the old, hey, it ain't broke, so don't fix it. How do you make a business case for incremental improvements on an existing system? And sometimes it's necessary, even if it's difficult, to make a business case for it. The shift toward big data can provide that impetus for many organizations to basically say, look, we need to make some remedial changes, some retroactive changes to these existing systems so that we can be confident they'll scale up and have consistent high-quality data to be used for big data applications.
Great, Peter. Well, thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
And for more on CRM trends and analysis, visit searchcrm.com. Until next time, I'm Tim Ahrens. Bye.